of our late stage savages here. If you are a man over 40, you're doing your best to make your children upset at you.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. Like, you know daddy ain't shit. Teach his girlfriend bad. We liked her. We are a fan of you and your work.
Rick Pitino.
Welcome to the parlor, listeners. It's Two in a Bottle. I'm Brandon Harrison, chilling with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-nihilist black man. Deej Dollars, what is wrong with the world this week?
Everything.
Or nothing.
Or nothing. Nothing matters, yet everything matters.
That's how I'm feeling, man. It's been a pretty eventful week. A little, I would say, in-depth, like a lot of like heavy events. You know, we try to come up with what we're going to talk about each week. And we're like, man.
She's fucked up.
And, you know, beyond Trump news.
Right.
You know, in the rest of the world.
Maybe it's just because we know more and news is faster. It spreads faster. That's what I keep trying to tell myself.
It's the phones. It's the media. It's the constant flood.
Yeah, because we're always, you know, thinking, oh, shit, it's crazy. But like, I feel like the world lives in chaos, just like an organized chaos.
Potentially, I can see that. Yeah, I mean, it's not much going on, but
there have been world wars in which tens of millions of people have died.
Yeah, no, that hasn't quite happened yet. You know what it is? What's up? Like, I'm not that smart, right? But I think about you smart people, you know, on a parabola, on that exponential curve, as you get closer to zero.
Hold on, are you saying a parabola?
See, yeah,
or a parabola?
A pair of bolas.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I'm talking about
parabola. That. I'm not even talking about a parabola. I'm talking about a
bell curve?
Exponential curve as it approaches zero. There are infinite numbers there.
Yeah, there's an infinite set of numbers in between zero and one.
So
yeah.
As our world is getting smaller and there is like more closure and everyone is just existing with each other in a more interconnected world, we don't have the large scale fuck shit of world wars, but it doesn't matter because our minutia is becoming more and more prevalent and important.
I like that.
Yeah, man.
That was pretty intelligent of you.
Yeah. Try to put it together there. But there's good shit happening.
Yes, there is.
The NBA has solved the NBA All-Star game.
We're like, yo, massacres, but NBA.
We'll get back to the massacres. Oh, sorry. Yeah, man. News just came in. Boop, 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 over the wires. DJ was high at the press release.
Yeah, I was sending that shit out. Like, yo. Sent it to a couple of my friends and fam.
You know, if you watch like the past few NBA All-Star games, they've been hot garbage.
I think it's a dumpster fire.
A dumpster fire. A flaming trash can.
Or portmanteau, just a waste of time.
Oh, indeed. Just, you know, you're there. You're turning on. You go, oh, you know, it's all their weekend. I'm going to watch the showcase. I'm going to watch the game. And then you get like 3 minutes in and like no one's back on defense and everybody's just passing and going up and forth. Layup. You're like, eh.
Alley-oop.
I'm not going to watch it. I mean, last year the whole best thing was the subplots. Like, is Russell going to pass to the Kevin Durant? Are they going to talk? That was the whole drama.
The news invention machine, yes. Sure.
But the actual entertainment was poor. And I would venture to say that the best All-Star game of all time is a toss-up.
Toss-up.
And in my lifetime, I don't get, you know, any old heads getting pissed.
They've been a blur to me. But
2003/2001. Do you remember those, DJ?
I'm sure I watched them, but I don't remember them specifically.
01, Stephon Marbury and Allen Iverson lead the East, who was then also trash, back from a massive deficit to actually win, and they actually tried. It was crazy.
I think I remember that.
It was good. And 03, overtime. Jordan hit the fadeaway in the corner.
Ooh, I remember that. Ooh.
His old man Jordan, they're like, give it to him, and he still made it.
He made it. That was fire.
The overtime was mad anticlimactic and niggas lost. That was fire. Good times. Last year, we had Russell, KD melodrama. We had Stephen Curry fall on the floor to avoid a dunk. And that was it. And no one had a good time. And it was in New Orleans. It was just whack. Like, it got moved. Mm. It just was bad vibes. So, the NBA has decided to follow the model of, I guess, hockey and the NFL?
Yes.
Where players will be selected by the fans and coaches and also media.
Apparently still, what, 7, 8, 10 per conference? 10 per conference.
10 per conference. And then, after being selected, go out to the schoolyard.
Play pickup.
We play pickup.
Two captains. Most picks. I mean, most votes.
So
isn't it going to be like whoever's the European or Asian guy for on either team?
That is tough, but it's also mildly hilarious.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like when with who's the homie on the Nuggets?
Who am I? Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic.
Nah,
KP. KP.
KP is because at New York / yeah. You know, foreigner, but Lafayette is not like a big enough country. I feel like it's not like.
I'm like, yeah, I can just get the whole Eastern Bloc.
But somebody like Zaza Pachulia slide in there or. Yeah, don't let anybody Chinese be raw. Like Jeremy Lin has a hot year. Brooke is, you know, surprising.
Oh, it's lit.
It's gonna be real lit in there. So, of course, you're gonna see the LeBron, Steph Curry. That's why I think where it's going.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, the NBA will manufacture it that. But I appreciate them, DJ. I'm not saying that.
Why are you not saying that?
Because I don't like that argument about the East and West.
What is it not to like about that argument?
It's that it just happened. It happened and it doesn't need to be fixed.
It, but you know how long it's been this way? For quite some time.
16, 17 years?
Yeah, there are players about to go to the NBA that are younger than that.
Well, it was like 16, 17 years before the other way, before that. You know Magic Johnson was beaten in the 80s in the West?
You had, what, the Nuggets and the
exactly
Mavericks, maybe?
Exactly.
The Rockets?
It wasn't like the same.
I mean, it's always top heavy. I'm not.
Ebb and flow.
I'm not arguing that, but it's very apparent that the most desirable locales and the majority of the best run teams are in the Western Conference.
Fair.
And the players know that, so they go where their prospects are the best for them to make the most money and have the best chance at winning a championship. So there's no coincidence that. The West has, I mean, really, the West has what? Maybe what? 7 out of 10 best players?
I think so. I think that's pretty accurate.
I just threw that out.
I'm thinking in my head, I want to say it might be more than that.
Maybe like 8 or 9.
It's like LeBron James, all the West, right? I mean,
yeah, after that, you just kind of, yeah. Who's number two?
Oh, Giannis.
Is Giannis top 10 yet?
Yes.
Okay. I still need to be convinced by him.
Yeah, you don't. You don't if you think about
no,
it.
No, I know he's good.
If you think about it, though, and you're like, is there 10 players better than him? You're like, nah.
Maybe.
But, I mean, organizations and amenities and sort of just the structure and culture of places, it does matter. And I can see how that balance was thrown off. And I appreciate the NBA being like, you know, all right, we want to make your viewing experience better. We listen to the fans. We are a good organization.
Yeah, at least they're a progressive enough league to consider making these type of changes. I can't see them choosing to do this if both conferences were a bit more even. So I don't know what they're going to do with the rest of the All-Star Weekend. Will this convince you to watch?
I mean, I always watch All-Star Weekend at some level. You know, not all of it, but at least some of it just because... I mean, and nothing else to do. It's February. It's Valentine's Day. it's always on Valentine's Day, by the way. So if you don't want to have a nice romantic evening, watch All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I probably still won't watch.
I mean, I understand. It's not that good.
I think it's like an implicit admission by the players at this point that...
But it's also for charity. It's for charity, care. Too.
That doesn't mean I have to watch.
Well, it means that maybe, possibly... They'll try a little bit.
I don't even need them to try in that game. I need them to try in the playoffs and then the regular season.
That's fair.
But this is pointing in a positive direction. I mean, we know on a year-to-year basis the NBA makes incremental changes. They try things out in the D-League, and apparently they were trying some things out in the WNBA. We didn't research that, but
I mean, I don't know.
All right, don't worry about it.
They tried out those logos on jerseys, though. In the NBA.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's coming soon.
Yeah, it's coming right.
Well,
now.
Well, not right now. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't like the gaudiness of the team jerseys. Now you have the big ass Nike logo, usually the company logo, and then the rest of the jersey. It's doing a lot.
Traditionalist.
Not as well, more just for the aesthetic value of it.
Well, they don't sell them. They can sell them without those, I believe. Like, it's part of it.
I believe the Swingman jerseys don't have the company
logo. And you know what?
What's up?
If you really want to be really real, they liquidating that Adidas stock, so you can get you a nice jersey.
I was thinking about that, but I remember, I'm not going to lie, I'm super team Nike.
Yeah.
Just growing up as a kid up to now. So when the NBA went from having an assortment of manufacturing contracts, because it used to be low-key, individual teams had different contracts.
Right.
It was like, that was a while ago. And then I think the majority of them, if not all of them, went to Nike as a league. And then it went from Nike to Adidas. When it went to Adidas, I was like, nah, I'm not fucking with this shit. Any of it, son. I don't have any Adidas NBA gear. So I was actually a little excited when they went back to Nike. Just for the swoosh, I guess. But I've just been indoctrinated.
Oh, everything from the swoosh.
Yeah. But the swoosh is a little too big on the jersey. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's a lot of influence with these organizations, man. They have a lot of power.
They do. It looks like it's trickling down all the way down to the college.
Ooh, segue. Ooh, see that?
I took that from you. That was an all-star game alley.
Yeah, slam it down.
All right.
Yeah. Listen, man. The NBA, progressive. The most progressive league we've got out there right now. I know Adam Silver said, oh, you know, it's in the rule book. They might have to stand for the anthem. I don't know. But, you know, he ain't got to do shit. He just talking.
I love, I think J.R. Smith, like, what did he say on Twitter?
He was like, all right.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, all right. That's shit. I was like,
that was definitely a classic. The Henny God, J.R. Smith, friend of the pod.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
All right.
Progressive league, man. And I appreciate that. But then, on the flip side, you got
Draconian
NCAA. Antebellum style leagues with the NCAA chasing the NFL down the rabbit hole of white evil. And it's just ridiculous. Now, I'm sure all you guys are aware of kneeling, and it means nothing. You kneel, you stand. We lock arms, we stand. We're going to show it on TV. We're not going to show it on TV. And it all means nothing, and it all has nothing to do with anything related to black people getting beat up by police. So all that is a mess. But if you look on the NCAA side, because I know you're all aware of players not getting paid, now there's this weird sort of, I'm going to say, virtue signaling court case.
Virtue signaling.
Where the FBI has been investigating. They've been searching. They got their friggin'...
Your taxpayer dollars at work.
They're at work. Your dollars are working. And they're, I guess, going into this, apparently, or right. Trump's pocket.
To get Chuck Person.
My guy, friend of the pod, former Indiana Pacer and Alabama great shooter, Chuck Person. Assistant coach now. I don't remember where at.
Former assistant? Is he still on?
Recently an assistant coach at college. I don't remember. And now former assistant at college. I don't remember.
That was at Auburn, right?
Auburn, right? Yeah. I believe Auburn, not Alabama. I'm sorry. But he's from Alabama. Chuck Person. He and at least 10 other and probably many more.
Probably hundreds.
Probably how many D1 schools are there? Yeah. Have been under investigation, and there's even a chart.
How long has UNC been under investigation?
That was the whole thing. I completely forgot about that. That UNC has been under investigation by federal and /NCAA regulators, and it's just, you know, all right, we're investigating you. And
I remember they punished themselves.
There was a thing where they were going these fake African American studies classes or something.
Oh yeah, no. Rashad McCants, he just comes all the way out about it and talks about the entire thing. I don't remember if he's
no neck guy, Rashad McCants.
I don't remember if he specifically throws anyone under the bus, but he does admit that there was a complete program for these players to just do these paper classes and get an A just to play.
And speaking of UNC, Roy Williams is stunned by the latest FBI investigation.
Stupid stunned. Stone cold stunned.
Stone cold stunned. All the way to the ground. Sold it well, just like The Rock.
Right.
So, we get a situation here where Person and a number of other assistant coaches are arrested and obviously going to lose their jobs at this point. Mm-hmm. Friend of the pod. Patron saint of the pod, actually. I want to say he's a friend. Slick Rick.
Late stage savage.
Late stage savage. We love our late stage savages here. If you are a man over 40, you're doing your best to make your children upset at you.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. Like, you know daddy ain't shit. Teacher's girlfriend bad. We liked her. And we are a fan of you and your work.
Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino, former Louisville coach, who, in his defense, was like, listen, I know y'all got me caught out here in a restaurant. I don't know. I heard it was not a hooker. I thought it was hookers, but it was like somebody's wife or something like.
Rick Pitino? Yeah, no, it wasn't a hooker. No, Louisville paid for hookers for prospective players.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Shout out to Russ Smith.
And they have parties in the dorm.
Ah, yeah. And he also got caught like smashing somebody's wife in like a restaurant.
Yeah.
Slick Rick. Yeah.
Louisville.
But, you know.
Very consistent program. That's all that matters.
Consistent program. Rick Pitino was out amid scandal. Now, his name was not named. His assistants were not named, but they're waiting, I guess.
Yeah, the other cavalcade of shoes have yet to drop. It looks like a number of other schools will be implicated.
Indeed.
Because a few of these sneaker reps were to Nike.
Yeah, let's get back. Yeah, that's what I want to get back to.
They were, this one guy's gotten indicted, right, from Adidas.
The like director of like something major dude,
like, yeah, like college, you know, of college interaction, you know, one of those titles. Somebody that speaks to the schools all the time. He had contacts with all of the major schools, even recruits trying to get them to go to Adidas schools, paying people tens of thousands of dollars, prospective players tens of thousands of dollars to join the Adidas programs because the best players. They publicize whatever they're wearing, right? If they dunking all on you in the latest, right, you know, Adidas sneakers, that's gonna make the next players coming up want to get the Adidas sneakers in their, you know, YBOA and the AAU leagues or the other colleges. So it's a repetitive process.
Jim Gatto is the Adidas executive, senior Adidas executive, $100,000 to a family of player 10, a heavily recruited high school standout to steer him toward a particular college. And then they said they didn't say the university didn't report.
What was his name? Player 10?
Player 10.
That means there were 9 other players before that.
At least.
that have different setups.
Okay. This happened around last week when this thing initially started. And DJ texted me. We texted about it. And I was
ultra ambivalent.
Yeah. I don't, and I still don't.
Right.
Understand.
I think you're principally ambivalent.
I'm not ambivalent. Okay. I am confused as to the legal, not only legal importance, which we both know is not much, right, but the legality or illegality of what is happening here. I was under the impression bribery was a crime that involved government officials. You're bribing someone to perform something for you / taking money from someone who was doing that.
I think I had raised that these were government employees to you, right?
Because they are
at the colleges.
These colleges are receiving money. Or head coaches. They're receiving money from the federal government.
Yes. So that may be an aspect too, or at least just the base justification for it. As we both know, this is, I mean, how many articles and news stories do we have to see to question the concept of amateurism in major right. college sports? So I can't contend with that. But I mean, if you're looking at it in a black and white sense, yes, the shit is illegal. And these, you know, middlemen that, play in the gray area are taking advantage of both sides. They're taking advantage of prospective players trying to maneuver them to go to wherever school they want them to go to. They're taking advantage of the potential agents and coaches in the shadows. And when you have the opportunity to do that, there's a lot of room for nefarious things to happen.
Right? Because I don't understand what's nefarious about it. I'm pretty sure that money under the table is reparations. If you get money under the table, that's why not? My services.
Well, as
my services are athletics.
Right.
You want to pay me $100,000 to endorse / come to your program.
Right.
I get there. I fulfilled my, isn't that called work? I don't know. I'm confused.
Right. But they're under the guise that they are student athletes.
Is that it though? Is it about a student athlete thing, or is it about something about they are supposed to be financial advisors and they're not allowed to do transactions like that? Or
I don't think it's that, but okay. but that said, I don't know the full context. There's
the thing about fiduciary responsibility in there that I was confused. That's like an accountant thing. Sorry, listeners.
Well, even if they were, like, they don't make any money, so why does a college player need a financial advisor?
What? Wait, what? Huh?
Why would a kid going from high school to University of Auburn need a financial advisor?
Okay. This is a good point, because you sort of touched on this earlier, and I didn't know if we were going to talk about it, but I want to talk about it now. Reality star and second Ball family son, third Ball family son, what's the boy's name?
LaMelo?
LaMelo. He's just going to drop out of school.
Yeah.
And just prepare to become, I guess, an NBA player,
go
right?
Go to China or some shit.
Yeah. Now, if he says that, right, and then, I don't know, because he's not in school, not involved in this basketball organization, and Adidas was like, yo, we're going to just big up the Big Baller brand. We're going to put in $200,000. Mm-hmm. To you, and you'll just endorse us, and we'll put, you know, it'll be Big Baller brand be under Adidas, and here's his 250,000 racks. Enjoy.
Well, you know he wanted a billion, but I don't know. Oh,
yeah,
track.
Then, yeah, billion. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to lowball you, yeah. LeVar. Yeah. Adidas just drops a cool billion. Boom.
Bam.
Y'all part of the team. I don't understand. What is that? That's okay?
Yes, because he's operating outside of the NCAA and college athletics.
So this goes all back to white evil then.
Yeah, it goes. You could say that if you want to use that as the
catch-all term. I do, listeners. Not stepping back.
We'll use the catch-all term. I don't agree with it. It is the circumstance as is. There have been dozens of court cases pushed and appealed and stuck in the middle of court right now, in the past, and will be in the future, that are slowly trying to chip at the quote-unquote amateur state that NCAA players have to play in. It doesn't make any sense. They're being taken advantage of. Everyone knows this, except for, well, even the, you know, people that run NCAA and these college programs, they know. But they would give up the entire game if they admitted to it.
So this is the thing that I find funny, and it's going to go into the whole thing about the shooting and all this stuff, is that this system is so ingrained and so invested, and people feel so, I guess, powerfully about the gratitude these players are supposed to feel about this whole situation.
And there's a lot of money on the line.
I mean, but yes. But that people are doing, like, this investigation is released, and they're like, yeah, we've arrested these people. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how it works.
Right. So right. They're like, oh, so you just found out what we do. Like, oh, okay.
Like, yeah, like... But, you know, they are virtue signaling to...
Who? I don't know what group of people. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe to... I don't know. People. Yeah,
you're amateurs.
Yeah.
Make sure.
The older idealist that in picture college sports is like some pure thing.
Even my guy, friend of the pod, Michael Beasley, had a statement like, yeah, like I'm from... he says, I'm from, you know, Maryland... area, and I went to Kansas State.
Right.
And he's like, oh, nothing happened. But you know, people do that. How did Courtney Lee get out of Western Kentucky? He started just alluding to all these people that are going to these random programs because that's how the game is played. But when it doesn't sit right with whoever, it doesn't make sense to me. And it just feels weird that if you're going to have a fucked up system, just let it be fucked up. Like, you're already winning. You're already exploiting people. But you got to exploit and sort of add this vision of, I guess, that you're on the right side of it. And it's just weird.
I guess they have to play defense in all directions. They have to play defense against the players that start to ask questions, their families or what have you, former players. They have to play defense against the middlemen that are playing in the gray area of the sport in order to put on a face of, purity and doing things the right way and so on. and have to defend the critics from the outside. Be like, no, this is amateur sports, right? We make billions of dollars. The Ohio State sports program operates at like $100 million profit, but it's college, but it, you know, it's a college sport.
It's ridiculous, man. I don't know. It's a tough week. I'm having a hard time dealing with it. Just like, you know, I've been saying white evil, but it's really white cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, I say this with NFL all the time. If you're going to be a blood sport, just be a blood sport. If you're going to advocate for assault rifles.
You said cognitive dissonance?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's on the nose. That's right.
Yeah, if you're going to advocate for assault rifles, just be like, yo, people could get shot the fuck up out here. Like,
well, that's what Bill O'Reilly said.
He did? Yeah. He put it out there. He's like, listen, yeah. I'm trying to get a TV show.
This is what he said, son. It's the price of freedom. That shit is fucking crazy, son. If one of my family members had been killed in Las Vegas and he said that shit, I don't know what I would do.
You did.
I'm pretty sure I would run up. I might be a little impulsive. That's all I'm saying.
Might have to pay a price of freedom. Yeah.
Right. You know, your freedom is other people's lives, apparently.
It's just weird. So if you're all aware of the Las Vegas shooting, I'm sure you have, the worst shooting to date, which
as of this week,
as of what today is,
8 p.m.
Tuesday, October 3rd, 8:31 p.m. And the response, because I don't want to talk about what happened. Rest in peace to all the people that suffered and people that were injured and just people that have to deal with the terror of the situation. But the reaction and the cognitive dissonance that happens once again every single time, it's crazy. Like, what is it going to take for gun control to exist? Now you have the guy, my man in the band, who gets on social media and changes his whole response. One of the, I guess, the guitarist, I forget his name. I had his name up.
It's not really relevant.
It's not relevant. We don't name you on the podcast. He changes his whole stance. He writes a big, long post about all the people that were injured. I never seen anything like this before. And I'm changing my stance about gun control today because I saw someone get shot and I was there and it affected me.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But even with that level, even with somebody who can change their mind, you got fucking Steve Scalise.
Who was shot.
Gunned down in a baseball game. You know, just, you know, a casual thing says it fortifies his vision about the Second Amendment. It's crazy, man.
It just like anything with the larger political conversation, it's a confluence of a number of things, particularly driven from the right wing, obviously. So in the furthest reaches of the right wing, you have these conspiracies that the government is waiting to take over the country with martial rule,
right, or
in the very least to take all your guns and to subject you and take away your freedoms. So that's like the worst version of it. I'd say like they're trying to remove the sport, or to summarize it, the you know, just to infringe on your Second Amendment rights, right? But what's odd is there was I believe it went all the way up to the Supreme Court quite some time ago, and essentially there was a Supreme Court ruling that changed the public interpretation, yes, of the Second Amendment.
From the idea that it was about malicious yeah, to personal protection, right?
Right. So prior to that,
NRA.
Right. Yeah. So a ton of people didn't have guns. After that, now you have a ton of people with guns. The U.S. has 50% of the personally owned guns in the world, and we only have 4% of the world's population.
Now, with that, you got to remember that the NRA, I guess, pulled their ads now for like eight days.
that's always the convenient conservative political tactic as well. Whenever something happens that flies in the face of a normal conservative point of view, or they go dark for a moment, say, you know, thoughts and prayers or whatever BS, and then keep it pushing, right? So it was actually surprising to see a couple of people like your Bill O'Reilly, or you said Steve Scalise, who was shot, say, you know, this is some type of, like, to use this as some type of defense for the Second Amendment. Yeah, and it does boggle the mind, right? If we are going to have the Second Amendment as it's interpreted now, then yeah, there has to be, I mean, just a reasonable person would say there has to be a little bit more of a handle on who owns what, assault, and how much of what.
Weapons, yeah, AR-15s,
multiple guns that they're voting on. This week, I believe, easing restrictions on silencers and armor-piercing bullets. Like, that shit could be easily used against, you know, your favorite police officer.
Exactly.
So, I don't know, but it seems like this will continually happen. I as we say before, with a lot of these kind of like very, very entrenched right-wing type of issues, I always say, like, it's going to take somebody from that kind of side or that milieu of people, of, like, you know, middle American white guy to...
Come on, Taylor Swift. I need you to rise up.
I think it has to be a guy with this one, right?
This one is a male.
Dynasty guy.
Nah, he's... That's the thing about this. I feel like when you're talking about who was going to be, I don't know if there is a male person that is respected enough in those circles that won't instantly become like a cuck. It's like, oh, you're trying to stand up? No, you're a cuck now. Like, I don't think it'll work. It's just too boneheaded, like, over there on that side.
I really, really do wish there was a public forum, even if it was on a cable channel or something like that, to get respectable representatives of multiple points of view. There doesn't have to be, like, the fringes or anything like that, right, but to really, like, talk through shit, not yelling at each other, also not having 8 million people on the stage. But... you know, something like that for your average, quote unquote, average American that supposedly doesn't follow news and politics that much to really understand the issues, because everybody just drives to their corners when shit like this happens. So, you know, we always have these talks of gun control, and on the other hand, you have these people that, shit, gun stocks rose today.
Shh, gotta be on it, man. Anytime something terrible happens in America, check that stock ticker. Get it.
gotta get the guns, right? There was a large rush to buy guns when Obama was elected, and exactly, after every major shooting, gun stocks and purchases skyrocketed.
Because there's something about the idea that if there's a shooter, I don't know, having a ridiculous shootout is the
this weird
it's gonna solve it, like,
yeah, this weird hero complex that we, I guess, that, like, quote unquote, Americans,
like,
everyone's
gonna start bucking and then, like, yeah, in all directions
over. That shit didn't happen in Las Vegas, right? So
no,
I'm so
he planned it out ridiculously. If you read, he had it all planned out. He had cameras. He was up away shooting down at the event.
It was wild.
So there would be no shootout.
Yeah, they were sitting ducks, like literally. But you compare that to here, right? You know, we more liberal. We're in a very liberal bubble, but, like, nobody has guns in New York City. If you do, this shit is illegal, or you are working law enforcement somehow, mm-hmm, or security. And for what it's worth, per capita, gun violence is very, very low, except for maybe a couple of neighborhoods, which is unfortunate.
Right,
but overall, like, people don't get shot like that. Like, if you see or know somebody with a gun up here, you like, damn, you got a gun? That's what happened to Raymond Felton, right? Raymond Felton came from down south.
Yeah, he's like, no, I just, you know, I do that.
Like, no.
I'm threatening my girlfriend with a gun. You can't do that here.
Yeah. You can't have a gun up here, man. So, I mean, there's a middle ground. It seems like people are just adding this to
it's
like,
funny,
their
though, it's like
religion, but
when people talk about it, it's like, there's a middle ground, but, like, we're way on the other
right,
side of
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, we're not even at that.
And they're not really willing to give it up. So, yeah, what you said, was there, like, what would it take? I don't know, son. Mm-hmm. I guess, I don't know.
I thought that the dude, the Somali cop, was going to be it. She was an American. That's what it was.
She was an American.
She was Australian.
Right? He's talking about the guy that killed the lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was a cop too, though. So that wouldn't have really changed.
He's an
much.
Affirmative action pick, okay?
Right. Yeah, like the right wing definitely, they control the basic pillars of that ideology and what gets talked out on talk radio and Fox News and shit. So it's very hard to break that. You know what I mean? Like, if they're really pushing hard, like, no, you can't give up anything regarding your guns. Not even a background check. Not even limits on how many guns or bullets you can buy.
Right.
It's hard to really push against that, son, until maybe you see some larger demographic change. But even that would be difficult.
I don't think America is making, man. Can we get out of here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wheels up.
Wheels up.
Yeah, we're going international, y'all.
That was not a good sound effect. Maybe you can plug that in. The sound of a jet taking off.
Listen, we're very learned. We like to read. We like to discuss what's going on in the world. So sometimes we'll take a step outside of these borders. We get our passport stamp. Pow. DJ, what's popping in the world?
Meanwhile. In Spain.
España.
With the lisp.
With the lisp.
Shout out if you know about that.
Yeah.
The province? Is it a province?
Autonomous region.
The autonomous region of Catalonia is trying to fully, formally exit Spain.
And it's getting brazy.
And is getting pretty lit.
Indeed.
Hundreds of people have been hurt after they, I guess on their own, like whim, like against the wishes of the larger Spanish government.
Right.
Decided to have a referendum.
So this is like all that shit talk that California does, or like New York, yeah, or something happens. But they're like, fuck it, we just gonna do it. Yeah. And everybody says, yeah, do something.
And they had a referendum to for lack of a better word, secede from Spain. And the Spanish government was like, nah. We're sending the military. And they did.
And they were like confiscating ballots and
beating people the fuck down.
Yeah.
Barcelona had a game that day, the legendary soccer team.
Right.
No one was in the stadium. Lionel Messi still scored and got an assist.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, he's a living legend.
You know what I'm saying, man? Barcelona's popping.
I've been there. Have you been?
No, I haven't made my way to this place.
It's very dope.
I've heard great things.
Barcelona is a beautiful city. It's really awesome. It's a jewel. So,
gave us the Gasols.
Are they from Barcelona?
I'm pretty sure they're from over there. They're from Catalonia.
But they're from Catalonia, right? Yeah. Like Barcelona is one city in it, but like it's the main city, right? So
they've called for the end of violence, by the way.
Yeah. So I think I was just thinking about it from like a historical perspective. Like we don't really zoom out and really think how we're living through certain shit at times. But when was the last time like you heard of something like this happening? Like
it's funny, like you're talking about real civil unrest and violence. I don't know. In America, I think the issue is that we're divided by other things and like we don't really have political strife. We have like all these other things masking the real political strife, mm-hmm, which allows like corporations and people to divide us. And somewhere like that, it's like, wow, we are a 400 or 500 year old entity. Like,
we speak another language.
Like, Spain came together from a number of kingdoms. You're talking about Catalonia, Aragon, Castile, and once upon a time, Portugal. Before it was like, nah, we Portugal.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So they all came together, you know, took over the world. Everybody speaks Spanish now over here. Great, but this corner of Spain is like, yo. We Catalonia.
We trying to leave.
And we just not feeling it. We want to have our own language with more Z's in it. I don't like really get what it is.
It's like a mix of Spanish and Italian.
Yeah.
Right. So they do speak Spanish, but Catalan, the language of Catalonia, is the native tongue. Indeed.
But like we don't have that over here to that extent because
everybody speaks the same language.
Number one, everybody speaks the same language. If you don't speak the same language, you are a massive minority. Or if you're black, you'll just get subjugated.
Yeah.
That's the biggest joke in America. There's going to be a race war. Like, and she's like, oh, no, it won't. It is, you know, relegate all black people somewhere.
I could see this happening, though. I do have a scenario.
Well, okay.
It's all actually right. Pretty plausible. If these geographically determined political disadvantages continue for like you know like distinctly continue for the near future, as in You know, Hillary Clinton wins the presidency by 3 million votes, loses an electoral college. Democrats win like 52% of the votes across.
And don't get any power.
Then, and get, you know, they don't have the majority of senators, don't have the majority of House representatives. If that continues, I know at least me, I'm like, I'm not feeling really represented in the country, right?
Okay, all right. So you think you see where I'm going? Will do these things?
I think the governors of the states,
yeah,
it takes a bit of belligerence because there are laws, you know, obviously in constitutions forbidding such a thing. But after a certain point, like, who's to say California, who has, the seventh or even larger than that, the seventh largest economy in the world, he'd be right. like, fuck y'all, like, we're just gonna leave.
Yeah.
Like, you don't listen to us. So right. why continue? We have two senators. Idaho has two senators. So it's why do we continue?
Like, Oakland should have two senators. Why Idaho?
Shit. Right here where we are should have a senator. If Idaho is going to have a senator.
Right.
So if that continues, and there's this level of political stagnance based on, like you said, the corporations and very partisan ideologies, I could see that happening.
I mean, the referendum is one thing.
Right.
And it's been relatively peaceful. Mm-hmm. I would say I don't know everything about it, but
you talking about Catalonia?
Yeah.
No, it was very violent. At least the referendum day.
But I'm saying on the side of the people trying to separate.
Them being violent back, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Fighting back. Oh no, I don't think so.
Okay.
As of yet.
Because it only gets to be real when, you know, the side is trying to leave, you know, picks up the
I don't think they were able to mobilize the military. So I guess their best plan of action, and this is what they've been doing for a while. The latest step was to have the referendum, but just to be a fucking pain in the ass
right.
and complain and build your case continually, try to make some type of agreement to finally maybe Spain is just like, all right, well, go ahead.
And it's funny because in a similar situation, you have Scotland, who they both actually voted to have increased powers from the devolved power that they had previously. I want to say Catalonia got theirs in 2008 or 2010, but it only really spurred on more independence fervor.
Right.
And I mean, as an American, especially as a Black American, it's kind of funny always talking about geopolitics and ethnicity involved in that. You know, I can't really understand or feel that same, like, oh, we're Catalan, man. Like, you know, we're not part of this entity. It's like, y'all like the size of Texas. Why are y'all like pressed? Over in my head, but they have that feeling. And there's 8 million of them, and they want their independence, as is something small as Scotland. So it's really interesting to see what's going to happen, because they're looking, considering they don't have any real force or army, for the EU as an outside entity to support them / acknowledge their existence, considering their referendum. So it's going to be some drama.
If the past, hundreds of years have given it, shown any sign, yes, there will be continued drama. So we'll see.
We'll see. Are you going over to Europe anytime soon?
I'm actually trying to not skip Europe, but I've been there a number of times, so I'm trying to hit a couple places. Got to go to the motherland.
Flex on. Oh, I mean, it does matter. Sometimes I had a friend who said, like, yeah, I haven't been in Europe, but, you know, I had to go to Africa first. And you're like, damn. Respect you.
No, like, that's one of those like humble brags. Like, you know, oh, you ain't go to Africa first? Oh, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Definitely.
Side eye.
Yeah, man. It's interesting, though. So, considering everything that happened, have you had a good week? Any positives?
Up, like, for this calendar week?
Yeah, this past week, you know, doing good things.
So, it was my birthday last week.
Oh, shout out.
Shout out to all the September babies, Libras out there.
Indeed.
I came to karaoke with me.
Came through, had to show love, living life, another year of greatness.
I'm happy you were able to keep up with me in terms of knowing a ton of lyrics.
Well, you know, karaoke is all about involvement and participation. Just go for it and read. Like, don't try to act like you don't know how people be like, yo, what's going? Yo, just... Just, you know.
Nah, you ain't seen me. I did forgot about Drake the whole song when I was looking.
No, I didn't know you didn't look, but I did know that it was like, it's tough.
It's tough.
It's a classic. Choke Your Death with a Charleston Chew. Yeah. Ricky, Ricky, Ricky. Yeah, man. So yeah, shout out to DJ, y'all. Send in the, you know, happy birthday DJ requests, listeners. All couple hundred of you.
It was cool. I had a good weekend. How about you?
I did stand-up comedy, DJ.
Oh, you did? Is that why you did this?
It's okay.
Yo, people are so shitty. Like, people ask you a question waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, I'm
like,
a bad person. I'm a bad person. I'm
no, selfish. I mean, it's a very human thing to do. It's like, nah, I'm just waiting for them to ask me.
Man, I'm trying to get these segues popping, man.
Good.
Yeah, man. Growth, you know, but do you know why?
Why?
It's like I got inspired.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, what?
Def Jam 25.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
You did.
It was on Netflix.
Indeed, it was on Netflix. Netflix, yeah, man. All the comedy, even comedy from 25 years ago.
Yeah, that shit brought me back, man. That shit, like, that's actually something I forgot that was about. I forgot that how integral it was to my life.
Interesting.
And to me and my cousins growing up.
We sneak off and see, like, oh shit.
Not even sneaking off. I mean, my family was cool like that. I don't know if it really worked out for the best. I mean, everybody seems to be in a pretty good position, but. We were pretty young watching Def Jam Comedy and Comic View and right. all the Chris Rock specials and whatnot. Yeah, at a relatively young age. And so just watching it, you know, because they did the clips showing, yeah. you know, compilations of the older episodes. I was like, damn, son, this shit used to really be fire. Like, that's what really put Martin yeah, on the map. Like,
definitely.
What do you think?
Nah, it just felt weird. Like... seen a lot of these old people. Like, number one, I was like, yo, mm-hmm. yo, there's so-and-so. There's Bruce. Oh, snap.
Bruce. Yeah.
But, like, a lot of these comedians, even, like, what's her name? Adele Gibbons. Like, man.
Yeah.
She got gums.
She always did.
I know, but it's just, like, seeing all these people, like, oh, I'm glad they're still doing well. Because, honestly, I was like, is Martin sick?
I know. Yo. And even when he comes off very timid now.
He's like weird and like, I don't know if something's wrong with him or like yeah. he can't like speak for a certain amount of time. But he was just doing movies.
He was touring too.
He was just doing movies not too long ago.
And he was touring a couple months
even
ago.
Even all jokes aside, Martin is only 52.
Right.
He's not that old. So, like, if something's wrong with him, then, like, I don't know. But it had me a little concerned.
I don't know. We got to check Wikipedia. Get the real facts on these. Get the Wikipedia facts.
But it was a great place to see all of the comedians over this past, you know, era of comedy come together and, you know, represent for something that really brought a lot of black people into comedy. You kind of forget about the cultural importance of things yeah. during that era, considering... I kind of feel like the black comedian is usually like the hottest comedian in the world for the past 25 years. Whoever's the top black dude.
When it comes to the arts, usually the best black dude is the best.
You had the mantle. I would say Eddie, Chris Rock, Dave, and I would even say
Kevin Hart lately.
There was 2 minutes in there. Cat Williams.
Cat Williams.
He had it. He had it before he got beat up.
He had like that Lil Wayne hot streak.
I think that's the perfect analogy, yo. Like he had that moment where he was just like killing the shit.
Yeah, it was like, damn, Cat Williams is fire.
Ah, man, you know, he's that hustling.
Yeah, that hustling show where he came out. Yeah. So I remember that shit.
He had his moment. And like Kevin Hart, you know, just reigning in just, perpetuity.
Just all hard work and star power. It's not even like he's the most talented, at least to me. But
just Tim Duncan it.
just going. Just consistent, son. So, yeah. And everybody came through there, too. It's not...
Everybody.
Like, literally everyone.
So, this is the fact that you would have, like, on stage, you have Dave Chappelle, who once was a recluse...
Right.
Came back onto, like, I do what I want type stuff.
Right.
But it's like, yo, I'm still going to come through to Def Jam 25. I'm still gonna come through.
Yeah, like it felt.
Steve Harvey, I got 18 shows, and right. even made fun of himself about yeah, it. It was like, yeah. yo, I'm still gonna come through, smoke a cigar, and be this like wild uncle niggerish,
right?
And it was just like, yo, this is an awesome place to see all these people. And even when I watched the comedy, the clips, it threw me back. Like, yo, this almost feels like a caricature at this point.
Yeah, there definitely was a style to it. That very raucous, raw, profane, overt style. That was endemic to a lot of the stand-ups that went on it. But that seemed like that was a requisite for you to get up on that stage, though. Like, you had to be abrasive like that, or the crowd would probably eat you alive anyway. So.
Yo, the crowd felt like an NBA 2K simulated crowd. it's like, joke! Ah! Yeah. And then the same 8 guys run and fall down and get back up for the fun.
It definitely had a lot of drinks in them, for sure.
Yo, man. That's one thing, if you guys aren't too big into the world of comedy, is that everybody's drunk. Yeah. Like, that's the one thing you got to remember. Like, it's like, yo, that wasn't that funny. But if you're there, you come in and you're like, oh, yo, you got to buy 2 drinks. Like, what do you mean I buy 2
drinks? You got to buy 2 drinks.
you got to get sauced up.
You got to loosen up. Yeah. And laughing is contagious, right?
It is.
Like, you don't want to be the uptight guy. Like, you know, relax and listen to the jokes.
So who was the main, I guess, non-superstar comic? You're like, yo, shout out to that guy.
The main non-superstar who was up there? Damn, when you said like superstar, that I guess like I'm trying to figure out what that connotes.
Because I forgot D.L. Hughley was on there. I was like, yeah, D.L. Hughley has never been funny.
He's funny. I've laughed at stuff, but yeah, I don't quite think.
But I do respect his aesthetic. It's like, you know, I'm that cool, like old black nigga that's like, you know, I know stuff. I'm smart. It's like, are you? I don't know. Like, just like, he was like, this is gonna be my persona. I'm going for it. I'm gonna get me a CNN show. Right. I got twists.
Right.
Deal with it.
Right. Exactly. He's definitely gone through a couple permutations to his career that I wasn't expecting. Because he does have a talk show or something, right? Like, yeah. The fuck? D.L. Hughley. Shout out to him. I used to watch a show though.
Good show.
The Hughleys.
Yeah, the Hughleys. Good show. Can't fade it. Watch it and you're like, yo, this is how things look like. Look at his suit. Like, all.
Yeah, so not maybe not him, but I used to like, that was on the Michael Collier.
Michael Collier, that's a throwback.
I think it was funny. Earthquake. Wow, funny. So.
And he was in the crowd too.
Yeah, he was there. He was there. Still alive, man. Yeah. Bill Bellamy was there, right?
Bill Bellamy
still looking like old nigga trying to hang on, trying to talk to the girls in the low out.
Like, Bill, stop it. Bill Bellamy. Like, that's somebody who's like, dang, I haven't thought about Bill Bellamy in a long time, man. And he had like a run too. He's like, yo, he's in movies, right? Everything.
Yeah, Fastlane, man. Fastlane.
is that like some kind of shitty action movie?
It was a shitty TV show.
Oh, man, no.
Yeah, he did it though.
I gotta do some Googling on that one, man, because it was definitely like, and they did the whole, I guess, retrospective on the Kings of Comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of Bernie Mac. It's like, man, that's somebody that I definitely be like, man, miss this guy, man. Classic.
Yeah, they. I knew they were going to set aside the time to spotlight him, because, yeah, there's really hasn't been any other comedians like him since. Like, that thing is just on the planet by himself, like just a different type of comedian.
It's definitely a change in time. They picked a lot of the clips and you're like, oh, that's funny. But it was like, yo, shit's wild problematic now. It's like, I wish we could like laugh us up a certain way. I was like, dang, like, I don't know. Like, can I laugh with this? I don't know. So
I could appreciate it just for the retro feel and just because it was so different. Right. Like What is Def Jam comedy now? Like, what would that be
as a brand? Oh,
like now? what would the style and subject matter be?
I don't know. Like, I think about that, it feels weird. Like, over time, and then maybe it's me. Maybe it's like life and changing. Like, and I say this as a joke, and it might be messed up. Maybe be a lot of Vine people. Maybe be a lot of like Twitter people. But also, I don't really know what niggas is doing. So I feel like that is like where, I guess, the comedy has gone. And I don't know how polished it is, but I think it'll still be good.
It was the reason that institution was so crucial is because they really did aggregate, like we were just saying, literally every comedian that was worth it. So there aren't that many avenues out, like for television
at that time.
As that was. Besides, like you said, wilding out or these quick type of jokes type of things. I'm not as keen to it as well, But I feel like if something were to cross over or be on one of these major streaming services, like we would have picked up on it.
Because you know who was there and who tried it?
Bill Bellamy?
No, but Diddy, whenever he tried Bad Boys of Comedy.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah, it was a little flat.
Yeah, it just didn't.
I'm not sure. I remember watching an episode or two, and it just seemed like a rehash of it. So he may not have really innovated on the format and model to really keep it up with the times. I think that the personalities nowadays, if they were just like people from the street, they would not be as gregarious and like streetwise friendly as they were. So you would, I think it would be more like drug addict type dudes, or at least got like jokes about doing drugs.
Yeah, man, like, you know, Zanny jokes.
Yeah, or jokes about how social media is destroying their life, or, you know, like some dealing with girl issues.
Scumbag girl stuff, like, you know, yeah, running off on your second family.
Right. Yeah, like, those are the type of zeitgeisty things that I think would kind of shine through. Back then they had fucking, you know, Rodney King and Michael Jackson jokes.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, Michael Jackson jokes being like a classic, like, those are, I'm like, oh man, that was just easy money for everybody to lay up.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Can I get some shouts?
Shouts.
Shouts to Eddie Griffin. Shouts Chris Tucker. Shouts to Michael Collier, like you said. Shouts to this guy who I can't see his face. I don't know who that is. Oh, shit. Oh. Earthquake. All these people. Talent, who I actually saw. And what's that place I always marking on, like, the radio? Caroline. It's like, dad, you still out here doing comedy. So it was a good experience, man. I enjoyed it.
Good, man. It's a real artist medium. I know you and I have been always interested in, obviously, you said you got inspired and did an open mic. That's not my forte, so props to you. But I've always really respected it and listened to a bunch of different comedy podcasts or read stuff or watched stand-ups, because it's a real art to it. Like, these people really put their heart and soul into that shit, son. And you could definitely make a career about it.
It's just hard.
Yeah, but it's hard. It takes a very long time. You make meager pay for a very long time. And you may never pop. So it's really like if you enjoy it or not, like if you really live for it or not. You can watch, if you want the Twitter, like, tweet link version of it, you could just watch a P. Holmes show. What's it called?
Oh, yeah. Crashing.
Crashing. Yeah. And you will see, like, the trials and tribulations that of becoming a comic will go through.
Keys, don't quit your job.
Don't quit your day job. Or actually, you may need to in order to prep. Like, I'm not sure what Seinfeld will tell you, but.
Nah, you gotta have a day job. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's been a good week. Got anything else? News and notes? I feel like we yucked it up, went around the world, came back, talk hoop, talk laughs.
Nah, man, we're good.
Okay. Dope. We'll keep listening to people. We got guests coming. We're trying to make it happen in the next couple of weeks.
Lining it up.
Indeed, trying to line it up. We're pushing our way towards 100. Maybe make some changes. May not. I don't know. But the pod is going. It's going because this is our passion. So it's going to keep being hot. We're going to look back on this, right, for the retrospective in, you know, 20 years.
It's a good time capsule.
It's definitely a good time capsule.
I think we were holding for the episode 100 to kind of recap. But that's one of the bullet points. It's a good time
capsule. I remember that. So, yeah. Keep listening, y'all. We'll be back next week. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes podcast app. And if you're in Brooklyn, Brick Radio. So thank you for listening once again. And we'll be back, y'all. Two.